a very warm welcome to our Book of Common Prayer service of Holy Communion on the third Sunday of Lent. My name is Susie Williams and I am the rector of the parish of St. Margaret's in Chipstead. For all our up-to-date notices, please look at our website, and if, as a mark of discipleship, you would like to make a donation because you aren't already doing so by a Vax payment, then you will find that facility on the website. Today we're going to worship God in spirit and in truth, and as with the season of Lent, I have the mark on my forehead, the Ashes mark, to remind me, as I hope we are all reminded during this time, that this is a season of penitence, as we break the habits that bind us and try to incorporate new ones. As a church, we are following the Holy Habits book, and the holy habit we're following at the moment is that of breaking of bread. This is a good time to reflect on those things that we do that do not bring honour to God's name. So in this service, we will be repeating the Ten Commandments and we will not be having the Gloria. Let us worship God together now. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God spake these words and said, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have none other gods but me.
Lord, have mercy upon us and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt not make to thyself any graven image, nor the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor worship them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, and visit the sins of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and show mercy unto thousands in them that love me and keep my commandments.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Remember that thou keep holy the Sabbath day. 6 days shalt thou labour, and do all that thou hast to do. But the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no manner of work, thou and thy son and thy daughter, thy manservant and thy maidservant, thy cattle and the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt do no murder.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt not steal.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbour.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's wife, nor his servant, nor his maid, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is his.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whose kingdom is everlasting and power infinite, have mercy upon the whole church. And so rule the heart of thy chosen servant, Elizabeth, our queen and governor, that she, knowing whose minister she is, may above all things seek thy honour and glory, and that we and all her subjects, duly considering whose authority she hath, may faithfully serve, honour, and humbly obey her, in thee and for thee, according to thy blessed word and ordinance, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
The first reading is taken from John chapter 6, verses 1 through to 15. Jesus feeds the 5,000. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed those to who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with pieces of the 5 barley loaves and left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who comes into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountainside by himself. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is further on in chapter 6, with Jesus talking to his disciples and religious leaders on the other side of the lake, talking about eternal life. "I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which people may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. But whoever feeds on me, on this bread, will live forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So together we now affirm our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Our reading this morning tells how Jesus provided food for 5,000 people from just 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. A great number of hungry people went home well satisfied with their meal. It's a story about scarcity and abundance. It's about having too little and about having plenty for all. So that will be the theme of my talk. I begin with economics. I studied economics at university, and then for most of my working life, I was an economist. Economics would be called the science of scarcity. It assumes that we live in a world of limited resources, and it's about how those resources can be used most efficiently. It's about how scarce goods are allocated in the market, about how prices are set. In our reading, Philip said, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. He had done the sums in his head. He sounds rather like an economist. In fact, he sounds like most of us. We think we live in a world of scarcity, where there can never be enough of all the things we want or of the things that we need for all of us to be satisfied. And of course, there is truth in that. But we also live in a world of abundance. We get the sunshine and the rain, which is provided for us as a free gift. And each summer, nature produces more fruit than all the creatures of the world can consume. Just think of the nuts some of us have to sweep up under the trees. Any one of those nuts could have grown into a new tree, but very few, if any, of those thousands will actually do so. There is providence and prodigality in nature, as well as choice and competition. Well, there are stories of both scarcity and abundance in the Bible. In the Old Testament, the children of Israel had to pass through a wilderness where there was nothing to eat at all. They longed to return to slavery in Egypt, where at least they would be fed. But God kept them alive by his free gifts of quail and of manna. And after 40 years of scarcity, God led them into a land of abundance. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. In the New Testament, Jesus, rather similarly, endured hunger in the wilderness for 40 days, a period of scarcity we remember in Lent. But there are also signs of God's providence and generosity. At Cana in Galilee, Jesus provided 6 great jars of the best wine, each holding no less than 20 or 30 gallons. That was surely providence on a grand scale. And after his resurrection, Jesus met his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. They had been fishing all night and had caught nothing. But Jesus told them to throw their net on the other side of their boat. Then they caught such an abundance of fish that they were unable to land their net. The New Testament also tells the story, which is our reading today, about the 5 small loaves and the 2 small fish. So much food was created that 12 baskets could be filled with just the crumbs that were collected when the meal was over. This again was abundance on a massive scale. But abundance is one theme of Jesus' teaching about the kingdom of God. In the Sermon on the Mount, he said we didn't need to worry about food and drink or about the clothes we wear. God, who feeds the birds and makes the beauty of the leaves, of the lilies, will provide us with all that we need. He says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. And he thinks that in a world like this, we can afford to be generous. Give, he says, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. That's what I call abundance. And this is the way it will be in the kingdom of God. This is the future we pray for when we say, your kingdom come. And in Jesus' teaching, he tells us to anticipate the coming of that new creation. He tells us to live now as if we were living in a land of abundance. Well, for some readers, the main message of our reading is simply the power of Jesus, the extraordinary works he is able to perform. And that, we're told, was the reaction of the crowd. They said, surely this is the prophet which is to come into the world. They were impressed by the miracle they had seen. Jesus was doing something that we would call supernatural. He was acting like God himself. Now, on several other occasions, the crowds asked Jesus to give them a sign, that is to show them his supernatural power. And surely what happened to the loaves and fishes was enough to silence their doubts. It was so incredible and also watched by so many people. Was Jesus then giving the crowd the proof that they wanted, the certainty that they sought? Reading the story more closely, we see that Jesus' purpose is not, in fact, to prove anything. He didn't gather the crowd in order to perform a miracle for them. On the contrary, he tried to get away from that crowd and get some rest in a remote place with his disciples. But he found he couldn't escape. In words from Mark's Gospel, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he taught them many things. And in Matthew's Gospel, it says that Jesus had compassion on them and healed their sick. Well, Jesus also gave them food to eat because he was moved to compassion by their hunger. He didn't want to see them going home with empty stomachs. And the only way to satisfy that hunger was to perform an amazing miracle, so that's what he did. As a result, which he had not intended, the crowd wanted him as their king. That had not been what he wanted. So he withdrew again to a mountain by himself. And in reading this story, we might praise Jesus not so much for his miraculous power as for his generous kindness and compassion. feel we need to read this story alongside the story of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. After 40 days of fasting, he must have been very hungry indeed. And that was when the devil appeared to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." He was being tempted to perform a miracle rather like the feeding of 5,000. His response was to quote from the Old Testament where it says, "People don't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." He didn't deny that people need to eat, but he knew that there was something they needed more than food. They needed the words of God to be written in their hearts. There is a similar message to be found in the story of Jesus feeding 5,000. He gave them bread and fish to eat because they were hungry. But he knew that they needed something much more important than that. He rebuked some of his followers because they came to him merely as the source of a free meal. "They should not be seeking food that perishes," he tells them, "but food that keeps them forever. Above all, they need the love and mercy of God." The love and mercy of God is never scarce, but always abundant. The more it is shared, the more of it there is. And that, I believe, is the most important lesson we can learn from our gospel reading today. The love and mercy of God comes down from heaven in Jesus Christ himself, made flesh and blood for our salvation. We need to absorb that love and mercy into our hearts, just as we absorb the nourishment of bread into our bodies. So Jesus speaks of himself as the bread which is eaten by those who accept him as their saviour. "I am the bread of life," he says. "Whoever comes to me will never go hungry." And he also says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever." Well, the saying also can be related to the theme of scarcity and abundance. If we are well fed, even if we are well fed, we don't live forever. Our lives are short, our years are fleeting and few. It is only through God's love and mercy that we can have life which is so abundant that it lasts forever. This leads in John's Gospel to a passage which refers to Holy Communion. In this sacrament, more than in any other meal, we receive the spiritual food of God's love and mercy with the promise of salvation now and forever. "Unless you eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." So let us just take a last look at the feeding of 5,000 as it's described in John's Gospel. The congregation is gathered. One of the congregation, a small boy, comes forward with an offering of bread, which is presented to Jesus. Jesus takes the bread and gives thanks to God. Then he breaks the bread, giving the pieces to be distributed to the congregation. When all are fed, the crumbs are collected up so that nothing will be wasted. Isn't that very like Holy Communion? We've been thinking about the power and compassion of Christ in providing earthly food for a hungry crowd. An even greater sign of his mercy and his love is that he provides spiritual food for us all as bread and wine becomes for us the body and the blood. So now, let us give thanks to God for his abundant supply of good things in anticipation of the coming of his kingdom on earth, the banquet that we will share at the end of time. And let us even more give thanks for Jesus himself, the bread that comes down from heaven, the bread of life that endures forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where the rust and moth doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust nor moth doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Father, all things come of thee, and of thine own do we give thee. So let us pray now for the whole state of Christ Church Militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all people, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to accept our alms and oblations and to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord. And grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes and governors, and especially thy servant Elizabeth our Queen, that under her we may be godly and quietly governed. And grant unto her whole council, and to all that are put in authority under her, that they may truly and impartially minister justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people, give thy heavenly grace, and specially to this congregation here present, that, with meek heart and due reverence, they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God, meekly kneeling upon your knees. And so we pray together. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. The burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him. Have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto our Lord God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty everlasting God. And now we give thee thanks, because thou didst give us the spirit of discipline, that we may triumph over evil and grow in grace, as we prepare to celebrate the Paschal mystery with mind and heart renewed. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord Most High. Blessed is he who that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
So we join together in the prayer of humble access. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel command us to continue, a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving thy these creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. Who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me.
Amen.
O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, grant us thy peace. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for us, preserve our bodies and souls unto everlasting life. Take and eat this, in remembrance that Christ died for thee, and feed on him in thy heart, by faith, with thanksgiving. Amen. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for us, preserve our bodies and souls unto everlasting life. Drink this, in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for thee, and be thankful. As our Saviour Christ hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. O Lord and Heavenly Father, we, thy humble servants, entirely desire thy fatherly goodness, mercifully to accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Most humbly beseeching thee to grant that by the merit and death of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and thy whole church may obtain remission of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy and lively sacrifice unto thee, humbly beseeching thee that all we who are partakers of this holy communion may be fulfilled with thy grace and heavenly benediction. And although we be unworthy, through our manifold sins, to offer unto thee any sacrifice, yet we beseech thee to accept this our abandoned duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offences. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Ghost, all honour and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end.
Amen. Amen.
May the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen.
So may God bless you and keep you this week.